Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled, The New Testament. Thank you to Mike, Rhonda, and Don for being involved in the video. The scripture reading is Romans 15, verse 4.
Welcome. If you're visiting with us, feel more welcome. It's good to see you all, and it's good to see a crowd. We're here, of course, to bring God worship and to thank Him for everything He's done in our life and to appreciate what His Son did for us at the cross. Let's go to God in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for presence of a community of believers that are here to bring worship to your holy name, realizing that because of you, we are who we are. You know our lives, you know every detail. You love us, you made us, you rescued us and saved us. Father, we realize that sometimes we take that for granted. We don't actually even understand the whole meaning of or what it took for you to initiate the plan in action to rescue us. Father, we realize we're very blessed. Sometimes we just don't understand how much. Help us, Father, to truly appreciate you, not just now, but each and every day of our lives. Father, we realize that there is a lot going on every day in the world, and of course we're thinking of the awful war going on in Ukraine right now, and the battle for land. And Father, we pray that you be with both leaders of country. I know it's hard to pray for invaders and people. It's tough, but we need to pray for those that we perceive as against us and against, in terms of Putin. He's a hard man to understand, and we don't understand it. Father, we trust that you are moving and over above all, and that you are achieving your purpose through that, and that you might move his heart, and we just put a stop to this. Father, we pray for the many people on both sides that have lost their lives and their loved ones in this needless war. Father, we pray that their peace will break out and that the world as a whole will come together and we can have peace among the brotherhood. Father, we realize that there are many things going on in the world that we're not aware of at this time that are also awful. Father, we pray that you continue to overall just see all things and move with your power and control all things and move things to a more peaceful world that we can live in, and that your word may be expressed and may be shared, and that people may be saved because we all took the time to share it. Father, we thank you for this time for worship. Go with us now as we go through this worship. Help us pay attention to the messenger and the message. Bless him. And Father, we're just grateful for the peace that we have time and worship in this country. Help us never take it for granted. In Christ's name, amen. The reading today is Romans 15, verse 4. It says that for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance taught in the scriptures and encouragement they provide, we might have hope.
Just a couple of announcements that we want to touch on this morning as well. We want to wish a happy birthday to Julie, coming up this week, and to Mike as well, who was up here just a minute ago, and to Tess as well. So happy birthday to you. And we also want to wish a happy retirement, or a congratulated retirement to Dave, after quite a few years, more than he probably wants to admit to, at the hatchery. So he is now a man of leisure. So congratulations, as much as he ever is. Congratulations to Dave. For that. We also are mindful of the Lee family, and we want to extend our sympathies to Ernie and to the rest of the family after his mom's passing. So if you can, you know, encourage them and be praying for them, that would be great. So we are going to actually sing. I'm going to stop banging on my microphone with my piece of paper, and I'd encourage you to stand, and we will sing together.
Good morning. I'd like to start out by reading you a scripture, and I'll be kind of stop and going as I go. This is a parable of Jesus. It's called the parable of the tenants in the vineyard. And Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the Pharisees and Sadducees were people who looked righteous, but not necessarily were. Listen to another parable Jesus said. There was once a landowner, who is God, who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a hole for the wine press, and built a watchtower. He did everything to make it successful. Then he rented the vineyard to tenants, or people to look after it for him, and left home on a trip. When the time came to gather the grapes, he sent his slaves, or the prophets of the Old Testament, to the tenants to receive his share of the harvest. The tenants grabbed his slaves, beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, the man sent other slaves, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them in the same way. And the prophets were treated badly in the Old Testament. Last of all, he sent his son to them, which is Jesus. "Surely they will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the owner's son. Come on, let's kill him, and we will get his property." So they grabbed him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. "Now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" Jesus asked. "He will certainly kill those evil men," the Pharisees answered, "and rent the vineyard out to other tenants, who will give him his share of the harvest at the right time." Jesus said to them, "Haven't you ever read about the scripture that says the stone, which is Jesus, which the builders rejected," the builders were Israel, "as worthless, turned out to be the most important of all? This was done by the Lord. What a wonderful sight it is. And I tell you," added Jesus, "the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to the people who will produce the proper fruits." So the kingdom of God was going to be taken away from them. They were people who looked righteous. They prayed publicly every day, many times a day, actually. They fasted multiple times a week. They did everything right. They even had laws that weren't even in the Old Testament. They made up more laws so that they could be even more righteous than what they should be. But their righteousness was external. They were like actors on a stage. And they felt that that made them righteous. The things we do don't make us righteous in God's sight. A lot of people might say that today, just like the Pharisees did. "Well, he's a good person." Being a good person does not make you righteous in God's sight. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him, to become sin on our behalf, which means to take our sins to the cross and to die for us. True righteousness is the result of our faith in Jesus. His death and resurrection and his spirit living in us is what makes us righteous. To receive Christ's righteousness, we have to drop our external self-righteousness and be humble and transparent and genuine before God, asking for forgiveness for our self-righteousness, and in faith follow him and his word. Let us pray. Thank you, God, so much for the righteousness that you give us through Jesus and through his death on the cross. And we pray that we will be a people of faith and that we will be a people who are full of your spirit, and we will be a people who rely and trust and believe in you. And we pray that as we take this bread and this grape juice, that we will be full of Christ's body and of Christ's blood and of Christ's spirit and be his people. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may partake.
Good morning, everyone. Glad to have you with us today. Every week we gather together and we share a message from the Word of God. What I'd like to do today is talk about the Word of God. David Nygren said this: if all the neglected Bibles were dusted simultaneously, we would have a record dust storm and the sun would go into eclipse for a week. Oswald Chambers: if we understood what happens when we use the Word of God, we would use it daily. John MacArthur: I have found that my spiritual growth is directly proportionate to the amount of time and effort I put in to the study of Scripture. And then A.T. Pearson: other books were written for our information, but the Bible was written for our transformation. And then D.L. Moody had several comments. Those who know the Bible best find it always new. The Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. And then lastly, if you carry a Bible when you're young, the Bible will carry you when you're old. Today, I'm attempting to do something that's somewhat impossible to do. I want to cover the entire New Testament in 27 minutes. Now, the reason I say that is that there are 27 books in the New Testament, and I want to focus on one particular scripture from each book. Now, what's interesting is everyone here today can do this, and we'd all use different scriptures. And that's the remarkable thing about scripture. It can never fully be grasped. It can never be fully satisfied. So it's just me up here sharing some scriptures from every book of the New Testament. So, for example, in Matthew 5, verse 17, Jesus said, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law," the Old Testament, "or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but I have come to fulfill them." In other words, Jesus was a living demonstration of everything that the prophets had said, and he still is. Mark chapter 6, in verse 2, when the Sabbath came, Jesus began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Now, when you think of Jesus, picture him in your mind. Do you think of him in a church building? Do you think of him in a synagogue? Or do you think of him as being out with the people? And in my mind, it was always out with the people. When I pictured him as a young boy and preachers would preach about Jesus, somehow I just saw him out with the people in the fields and sharing. And when he puts the parables together, I can see him standing there. I'm not so sure about you. But Jesus seldom taught in the synagogue. He did on occasion, but often he was out with the people. And then in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, 45 to 48, you can picture this in your mind. Jesus entered the temple area and he began driving out those who were selling. It is written, he said to them, "My house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him. Yet they could not find a way to do it because all the people hung on his words. Jesus brought fresh hope 2,000 years ago. And Jesus brings fresh hope today. So if you feel like your life's kind of falling apart, there is a Savior who welcomes you, who loves you. It's not just words. He knows everything about you. He knew you before you were born. He knows you now. And he pours out his love into your heart, my heart. When we read Scripture, it's not just information. It's this spiritual transformation that we can rely on. And then maybe one of the most quoted scriptures in all the Bible is found in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 16 through 21. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe stands condemned." Then it says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes in the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God." And then in the book of Acts, when the church is established and people begin hearing the good news, in Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching and he says these words, "People of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its grasp on him." And we'll be talking about that specifically over the next few weeks when we come toward Easter time. The book of Romans is a powerful book. A lot of people suggest that out of the entire Bible, Romans is a book of PhDs. You've got to go deep into the word and you have to read it over and over and over again to get the real strength of what sanctification and glorification and all these words are. Paul usually just breaks through that on occasion and then stops and says something that we can really grasp. And he says this, Romans 4:25. Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins. And he was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that our sufferings produce perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given. Have you ever stopped to think how much God loves you? I picture you or myself standing in a room and picture God standing beside me, you. And he whispers to you and to me, I know you. I knew you before you were born. I love you more than you could ever imagine. And I'm going to be with you forever. I'm going to pour out myself into you. And if you can, just share that with someone else. 2,000 years ago, his words are as relevant today. It's relationship. It's not just words. It's how much he knows us and loves us. And so powerful words that Paul often used in scripture. 1 Corinthians 13 is often known as the love chapter. And he says this, if I speak in the languages of people, and if I speak in the language of angels, but I don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, if I can fathom all the mysteries and knowledge, if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. Because hear how love shows itself. Patient, kind, does not envy, does not boast. It's not proud or arrogant. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of our wrongs. None. Love does not delight in evil, but love rejoices with the truth. Because here's what love does. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. And it perseveres. And so, Paul continues writing to this church later, 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, Paul has a time of praise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we've received from God. Compassion. Maybe there's been a time this year where you've been overwhelmed by sadness. Maybe it's a relationship that hasn't worked out. Maybe it's something that's happened in the family. Maybe it's negative thoughts that are always coming to you, and when it's just you, when it's just you, no one else around, just you. And you're feeling so low. Remember, it's a promise. Remember, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am always with you, and I pour out my comfort to you. And if somehow that's not enough, just know that when you feel all alone, he's right beside you. His promise, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am always with you. And so from there, we go into the first book of the New Testament in the sense of it was the first book written to a church in Galatia, probably several churches in the province of Galatia. And he says these words in such an optimistic way. Here's what the fruit of the Spirit's all about. We know a lot about God. We know a lot about Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Well, we're not so sure. I guess the Holy Spirit is taking some of Christ's words and God's love and pouring them into our hearts. And so when Paul is writing, he said, here's the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. Here's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Here's an example of the Holy Spirit. And I'll put it to you this way, he says. It's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness, and it has self-control. It's a time of praise. It's what God gives us. This is the fruit. This is what he gives us. We can personalize these things. Okay, then we go to the book of Ephesians, and he says this, Ephesians 4, 3 through 6, to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So that's us right here. We're individuals. We're all gathered together, and hopefully we are sharing this feeling of peace. It's a bond that we don't want to break because we're all part of this one body and one Spirit, just as we were called to one hope when we were called. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God and Father of all, who is over all, who is through all, and is in all. God is in us. One Father, who is over all, who is through all, and who is in all. He's in us. And he whispers to us to know him. Book of Philippians. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. And you may be able to discern what is best. And that may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, fulfilled the fruit of spirit of the righteousness that comes from God, this fruit of righteousness that comes from God through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. So what do you do when you're first introduced to Christ? How do you respond to this? And so here's what Paul says in the book of Colossians. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, here's what we do. Continue to live in him, rooted, built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And then there was this church called Thessalonica. And Paul ends up writing a couple of letters there. Here's one, 1 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Can you picture this? God knew you before you were born. He knows your name. He knew the exact time and places you would live. And he calls you to be part of his kingdom. Then and today. And so in 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 and 17, he says, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. And then he says, the Lord be with you all. The Lord be with you all. He's reminding us, the Lord is with us all. But do we recognize him? Do we accept him? Do we tell him how grateful we are because of how much he loves us? And then Paul again writes to a young evangelist, Timothy. In 1 Timothy, here's the words. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. For the most part, we in Canada have enjoyed that. And yet we know there are many nations around the world who don't. 2 Timothy, Paul again writes, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I'm just going to stop. I don't know if it's true, but I think Paul may have known that because of the persecution that was coming his way, he wasn't going to live very long. We don't know what his age was when he died, but he's saying, I know it's going to be soon. If that was your situation, what would you say? And here's what he said. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Watch this now, because you and I are in the Bible. That the righteous judge will award me on that day, and not only me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. We will see him face to face. And then the book of Titus is an interesting book. A lot of instruction in this book. Chapter 2, 11 through 14 talks about this love and grace of Christ. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. We are his very own. And then the book of Philemon, so tiny, doesn't even have a chapter, just a couple of verses. And in Philemon, he says, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you have often refreshed the hearts of the saints. And I think that when we see Jesus for the first time, he's going to say to so many of you exactly those words. You know what? Your love has given me, God, such a great joy and encouragement because you have refreshed so many people in your life. When you refresh people in your life, you're refreshing me. And I think we have a church full of people who really want to do their best in sharing the love that you have for others based on the amount of love God pours unto you. And then the book of James, is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Then let him sing songs of praise like we've done today. Is any one of you sick? He should call for the elders of the church to pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So if you're doing great in your life, if everything's going well in your life, and you know someone who is living the opposite kind of life, nothing's going well in their life, they're having so much trouble, can you just pray for them? Can you just pray for them? And let them know that you're talking to God for them. And so when Peter says, I want to praise God, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish. It can never spoil. It won't fade. It's kept in heaven for you. In heaven, your name is written. He already sees you there waiting for you someday. And then 2 Peter 1, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his great and precious promises so that through them you can participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now catch this. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. And to goodness, add knowledge. And knowledge, self-control. And self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. Brotherly kindness. And love. So now we start to close. We're almost through the entire New Testament. And 1 John 2. Ah, John, the one who is so precious to Jesus. He says, he, meaning Jesus, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. John writes another book, 2 John. And now, dear lady, I'm not writing to you a new command, but one we've had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands, as you have heard from the beginning. His command is that you walk in love. And then the third, John. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health, that all may go well with you, even as your soul gets along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And then there's this little book of Jude. Now, it's not Judas. There's a gentleman by the name of Jude, very wonderful man, doesn't really have a chapter, just has a few verses. But here's what he says. But you, dear friends, maybe you can picture Jude saying that to all of us today. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Know that when you're praying, it's not just you. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to life eternal. And then the last book of the New Testament, the revelation Here's what he says. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is yet to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness to the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us, and to him who has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve the God and Father. Because of all that, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And the last words written in the Bible are these words: the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. And he finishes with one word, the word that we use at the end of a prayer, and that is, Amen. So can we conclude today by saying that one word out loud like we really mean it, okay? Let's say it. Amen.
Before I close in prayer, I personally would like to thank you for, it's been a rough year. It'll be a year on Wednesday. Hopefully my eye issue will be resolved tomorrow. But we'd like to thank the church here, my brothers and sisters, and my own family and friends that have borne the burden of putting up with me, praying for me, feeding me, helping me in every small way, even at the points of time where I was frustrated and couldn't pray or didn't want to pray. I was angry, I was frustrated, and it's just been one battle. And if everything goes well prayerfully tomorrow, I will be back to myself. You might regret it, but I want to get back to work. I want to get back to my routine, but I couldn't have done it without you. And that's why the Lord gave us church to lean on each other. And I have leaned a lot. So I'm very grateful. I haven't taken it for granted. And I lift you up in prayer. And I'm grateful. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're very grateful for the message received this morning. We realize that now, even more now, that the scriptures were written, not just for the intended audience back then, which it was, but also for us, so that we may take courage and that we might have hope. And that hope will carry us through the difficult times in our life that we face and the victorious times that we have. And Father, help us never take you for granted. Father, we love you. Sometimes we have a hard time expressing that or reflecting that. Help us to journey on in our lives, encouraged from this lesson today, and to continue encouraging each other. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission. All rights reserved worldwide. Scripture quotations marked GNT are from the Good News Translation in today's English version. 2nd edition, copyright 1992 by American Bible Society. Used by permission. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.